All right. Shalom, everybody. Welcome to Rashan Messianic Bible Club. We're a little early today, so if people aren't logging in, Pastor Ben, they probably still sleep some places. Some places it's nighttime. They get ready to go to bed, so we're all over. So, all right. Now watch this. Elohim Tov.
Kol Hazman.
You hear those extra voices? We never have extra voices. Every now and then we'll have one or two people, but that's our family from Hawaii. My evangelistic mission for 2020. Because if we know what's about to happen and we keep quiet about it, it's kind of like being a watchman and being quiet and not barking and doing the things you're supposed to do to get people ready. And so we see it, it's structured in scripture, it's 120 years, it's what Noah said, all of these things that we have to consider, okay? Amen. And I'm going to need help from all of you guys, wherever you live, whether you're in Africa, whether you're in London, Australia, wherever you're at. I do have the flyer. I am going to send the flyer out if you need help printing up the flyer. But what I want people to do is use the flyer, not just to, any way that you feel you want to use it. Use the flyer to bring up the subject of, if this is the 120th year and this flood is about to happen here, that he has counted 120 years and that the rapture is going to happen. Now, I know in the world we think everything's going to always be the same and nothing's ever going to happen. But that is a very bad mistake to make, because things change. And especially when God says they're going to change, you can bet 100% things are going to change. So we just want to talk to people and make sure they're on the right side of change, okay? So let me make sure I get started with prayer this morning.
Working on it.
Okay. You got people chiming in?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So let's bow our heads and let's pray. And we're going to do our prayer in Hebrew. This is the Lord's Prayer. If you want to say it in English, you can. But this is a Hebrew club, right? Praise God. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshim Cha. Tavo Melchuteke Yi Aserot Sanaka. Be Aretzke Ashirne Asa Beshamaim. Tenlanu Hayom Lechem Hukeno. Uim Hadzilanu Min Hara. Kilaha Amamlaka Vehatif Eret Leolamim Leolame. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So let's get started. Wow. So much is going on in this world, and with the United States and Israel at the same time. Yeah. They're trying to get rid of their leader. and they got the media helping them to try to get the, and what, champagne? That's what, this is the accusation. It's like, this was bribery, because these guys gave you free cigars and free champagne or something. And
is that about BB?
And yeah, and so they're saying, we're indicting you on receiving fraud.
Oh, right.
So, you know, anything to try. And I mean, and Trump suggests as bad as, like, you made a phone call and
right.
You told the president. and false, they're going to actually read the real transcripts and realize that you're a liar. He should have been fired on the spot, but what do you call him? Trump calls him Skinny Neck. What's his name? Schiff or whatever his name is.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway. Now they don't have enough to impeach him on. And we're looking at some crazy times coming up here. I could get all into the Trump thing, because I'm all into that when I'm at home. But the most important thing to me is that God is about to act.
Right.
This is not about Trump. This is about God putting Trump in a position to hold off evil until he comes.
Right.
And so God is coming for his people. And Trump is a wonderful wall in front of that, because he's doing things that no other president has ever done.
Right.
I mean, he's doing like simple things that he marched with pro-life.
Yeah.
We've never had a president that having. Being important to God in every life, I just is like, he's the first one? That's crazy. Okay, we can't talk about all of that, but I want to show us what God is about to do, and I want to show you something that the Lord showed this young lady, and I'm going to give her name, but I don't know if I want you to go to her website, because she was giving the but if she said, they someone said, she said that if people didn't believe her, they were going to go to hell.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, that's a sign that somebody's losing it, right, you know, because right. you can never tell somebody, if you don't believe me, God said. You can't do that. So many people stopped watching her at the time. But someone sent me something like she's a mathematician. I didn't know that. See, you start talking math. When I was younger, you taught soccer math, I'd drop out the class and get out of there, right? Because I hated math. But since I learned Hebrew, once you start talking math, I'm like, my ear perks up, you know? So she wanted to give some calculations and some math that showed something in Psalms 119. And I'll show you that today. But before I do that, we need to read John chapter 21.
Okay.
No, the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Okay. And this is a very... Now, before learning Hebrew and gematria, I thought this chapter was just about a bunch of guys who were out on a boat and they decided to go fishing because Jesus has been crucified. And they haven't seen him yet, and they're just wondering, you know, hey, like, we quit. Because that's what basically they said, you know, like, I'm going fishing, you know what I mean? Well, he's already died on the cross, we haven't seen him, and now they're saying, let's just go fishing. Let's just go back doing what we were doing before we met the guy, because when we met him, we were fishing, and now he's been crucified. Let's go back to fishing. Because this is done, okay? He's not the Messiah. He didn't overthrow the Roman government, because that's what the apostles thought. They thought when the Messiah comes, he's going to overthrow the Roman government. We're going to be his 12 guys, and, you know, we're going to be in power with. And they were all excited about that. Every time he would tell them, I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. On the third day, I'll rise. It's almost like they went, I don't want to hear you. You know what I mean? Even one of the apostles goes, this will never happen to you. No, you know what I mean? He couldn't understand what Jesus was there for.
Peter.
Yeah, Peter goes down. Now, that'll never happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, you Satan. Because he recognized that the spirit behind Peter was not the spirit of God. It was the spirit of, don't rescue these people, abandon this mission, you know? And Peter was reiterating that, you know, because, and when you're in opposition to God, you're in trouble. You understand? It's like the same thing when you preach to people, once you're saved, you're always saved, and you don't even have to be obedient. You're talking in opposition to God, because God is saying to live right and to honor this great gift that you have been given, right? So you're speaking opposite, and that's what you call a false prophet. What God says, I'm going to say the opposite of, because now I'm on Satan's side. And so Peter was at that moment on Satan's side saying, don't save him, don't go to the cross. You know what I mean? This will never happen to you. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. So he dies on the cross, and they think, well, we didn't listen to him when he kept talking about that 3 days in the grave and all that. And we'll know what he's talking about with that. But we know that he's not the Messiah now. So now we're just going to go back to fishing, right? And so in John chapter 22, it gives 21, it gives the tale of what was going on while they were out fishing. Okay.
Starting in verse one.
And now, as you read it, now that I read, when I start studying Hebrew, I started reading everything as mathematical and as typologies. And so I'm reading the Bible differently. Okay. And so it says, after Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. Okay. Now, immediately I started, I read Tiberius. I was like, wait a minute, the Sea of Tiberius is the Greek name for that. That's the Jewish name, is the Sea of Galilee, right? So why would the Holy Spirit make sure that they say it's by the Sea of Tiberius? Because he's letting you know that this is a Gentile story that I'm about to tell you, okay? So he says this, he says, it happened this way. Simon Peter, that's one. Thomas, called Dudamus, that's two. Nathaniel from Cana in Galilee, that's three. The son of Zebedee's, and two other disciples. So the sons of Zebedee's and two other disciples were together. Okay. So Zebedee's had two sons. And then he says, the son of Zebedee's was there. And it says, and two others. So when you count them all together, there's seven people on the boat. Okay. And we'll have to go back and you'll see about Zebedee's and two others, okay? So, you have these three, and then you have the sons of Zebedee's, and you have two others, and then you count them, and you've got, okay, I've got seven people on the boat. Immediately, as a Hebrew student, you go, there's that number seven again, okay? Leah marries Jacob, and she happens to have seven kids. But she's the wife that came first, not the wife that came second, but she has seven kids. Then you go to Revelation and you go, seven churches. There's that number seven again. Okay. So then you go back to the Old Testament and you say Moses was rejected by the Jewish people in Egypt. So he left and he met a woman by a well and she just happened to have seven. There's seven sisters, and he marries one, right? So all of these sevens are coming together, keep telling you, I'm talking about the church here. So this story right here is talking about the church, okay? You've got seven people in the boat. Jesus is going to appear to them because he wants to show them a future event that's going to take place, okay? Remember what I told you. The Bible is just a repetitive repeat of the same story covered in a different story. You understand? So it says here, and two others, and it says, I am going fishing. That's what he says. Okay. The Hebrew word, the Greek word is hapago, which means to withdraw or retire. So he's basically saying, I quit, I'm going fishing, okay? Simon Peter told them, I quit, I'm going fishing, okay? And they said, we'll go with you. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net, the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped into the water. So he's the same guy that says, I would quit. I'm going fishing. Right. So what's God trying to show you? He really was quitting. He jumped. Jumping back into the water, what does the water represent?
The world.
The world. He's taking off his garments, and he's like, I'm jumping in the water. I quit, okay? I'm going back into the world, okay? And God wanted to emphasize to you this one point. When he comes, you got to be ready, okay? This guy has now got to rewrap himself and make sure, because he had taken everything off. He was basically saying, we're done, okay? And so he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off and jumped in the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coal with fish on it and some bread. So here's Jesus on the shore. When they get there, a meal is already being prepared. And it's 7 of them. Okay? I think once we get to heaven, the wedding feast will be prepared. Amen. You understand?
Amen.
And that's what he's trying to show you. Even Samson, when he talked about celebrating this wedding that he had for 7 days, when his father came to see, he was preparing a meal for the wedding. You know? So he's trying to show you all the time that preparing the meal when the 7 come in, when the bride comes in, is mandatory for the bridegroom. Okay? So let's continue here. And it says, the net was full at about 100 yards here. Okay, verse 10. And it says, Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was filled with large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Now, understand this, that what just happened, okay? You just saw a rapture scenario, okay? But God solidifies it by saying what? There was 153 fish. What does the number 153 mean in the scriptures? It's the Hebrew word, the sons of God, the B'nai Hai Elohim, okay? So he pulls forth, and what does Romans tell us? Romans says, if you accept Christ, you have now become the sons of God, okay? You have now become the B'nai Hai Elohim. So the B'nai Hai Elohim, the sons of God, are those who have been created by God and are now the children of God.
Yes.
So he pulls forth 153, you go back to the first mention of 153 in the Bible, and it says the B'nai Hai Elohim, the sons of God. Okay?
Amen.
So these sons of God are represented here by these 153 fish. Where did they get the fish out of? The water. What does the water represent? The world. So they've pulled the sons of God out of the world. They brought them to Christ to have a meal, right? And the meal is already prepared. God is showing you this rapture scenario in John chapter 21, and he's showing you this 153. So here we have the 153. It's the sons of God. It's the B'nai Hai Elohim. We could do a whole study on 153.
Yes.
Okay? When it was 2017, and 2017 is something we will have to go back and revisit, because this is, so then if you did 1 + 2 + 3 + 4, all the way to 17, it equals 153, right? And so this is the dividing, that 117 is the dividing of the scriptures, okay, in Psalms 117. So the 153, now, if you go with the 153 in Hebrew, it's always a division of what? The net, fish, everything that's about fishing, and this pulling these fish out of the water is 153, okay? So all of this, God is trying to show you that the capturing of the sons of God from the world is the 153, okay? So he didn't just put 153 in John just because he's like, well, let's think of the number of fish they had. You know what I mean? This, who counted them? Or is God writing his story and he's trying to let you see his story, okay? And he says, God says, I know exactly how much. He knows how many number of hairs on your head, so I think he knows how many fish are in there, right? So we see this rapture scenario, and we see this 153. Now, let's go to Psalms 119. Okay, you're in Psalms 119. And let's go to, okay, we understand what Psalms 119 is, right?
Yeah.
Do we understand that Psalms 119 is the alphabet, is the full Hebrew alphabet, okay? So from Aleph to Tav is Psalms 119, okay? It's one big chapter, but it's separated into 22 Hebrew letters, right? Okay, so let's look at the letters. So we're in year what? 2019, right? When we get to year 2020, that would be the 120 that Jesus was talking about. It'll be as it was in the days of Noah, okay? So the event happens when? At the 120, okay? So the 20th is going to show you, now this is when it's going to happen. Now, so we're looking at the letters. Let's look at the letters. I'm going to go through them. There's Aleph, Bet, Gamel, Delete, okay? And we're going to get to the 19th letter of the Bible. The 19th letter of the Bible is this, Quoth, which means the end of a cycle. This is 100, okay? This is the end of a cycle. Quoth also means holy, okay? So this Quoth is the end of a cycle, okay? And it also means holy. It also represents Jesus. And if I showed you the letters, let me see. Rest in. Well, I won't do that right now. That would be too much. Okay. So, Quoth is the letter. It's the 19th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay. Now, what's the 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet? The 20th letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Resh. So, the change happens when? In 120, not in 119,
right,
but in the 20th letter. What verse does the 20th letter begin at? What verse is the 20th letter? Resh, if you look at Resh and you look at that verse, what verse is it? It's verse 153. So the change from 19 to 20. So when you go from 19 to 20, you get it at verse 153.
People online are answering you, Pastor.
Okay. Now check that. Now, I'm trying to explain to you guys something, why this is so important, because sometimes we think that God didn't completely design the Bible. One professor told me, I love the way one of the apostles says, I'm not one of those super apostles, but one professor told me that God has nothing to do with the chapters or the verses. They came up with that in such and such a year, and so you can't really apply that, okay? And I thought, then why is Revelation chapter 4 talking about the door when the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet means door, and in Revelation chapter 4 we see Jesus standing at a door in heaven blowing the trumpet? And why? And so, knowing that that was ridiculous, what he said was like God wrote the book but he had nothing to do with the design would be like, I wrote a book, and I'm telling you, I didn't want people changing anything, right? This chapter has to come after that chapter. So God is like, I'm situating the verses, and I'm situating the chapters. I'm even going to control how many times people say a certain word in a verse, in a conversation, like John speaking, like Jesus speaking to Nicodemus, right? So Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus, and they're talking about the being born again, right? Okay, being born again can't happen without the perfect person, and who is that? Jesus, which is the numerical value, what? 888. So in the conversation, if you go back and read it, they use the word, the Greek word, born again, 8 times, okay? So do you think that they were counting while they were talking? Or do you think that the author says, oh, they can only say birth 8 times because this is about the rebirthing and the number 8 and the new beginning, right? So I want to try and show you. I could show you something else, but I didn't bring my book. But there are, in Matthew, they said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added to you, right? They use the word righteousness. You know why they use the word righteousness? Because it's the 18th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So that means tzaddik is the 18th letter. Tzaddik means righteousness. You have that same verse in each of the gospels, but the other guys don't use righteousness. They just said, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Right.
Right? So it's like God is controlling all of the scriptures and all of the verses, and he's even using his letters to make sure you say certain words that fit to that letter. I'm trying to tell you who we serve, okay? See, this thing last night, this was like, for us, this is like huge. Like, how does God control the sun to sit in front of a constellation for 3 days every year for 6,000 years? You can't control the sun. I put it there, right? God, like, so we see when God does incredible things. So when Pearl did this thing, and I said, wow. I said, why would from 119th the letter change to the 20th letter, from the 19th letter, quoth, to the 20th letter, which is Resh, is the 153rd verse. What's 153? The sons of God. Is God trying to show us something? That the 153, the B'nai HaElohim, this is your year. This is the year. The 120th is the year of this. Because what happens in 120th? What is the 120th chapter of Psalms? What's it called? That whole section? The Psalms of Ascent, right? So we know that from here to here starts something completely different. God made it where, okay, you get 8 verses here, and then you get 8 verses here. But when we changed from this verse to that verse, let's make it be at the 153rd verse, because that's the B'nai Elohim, and here comes their year, right? I'm saying God is doing things, showing us that he's coming, okay? I have been on this so long. I'm like, God, every time you show me something, it is amazing how involved you are in your word, in the world, in everything that's going on, okay? So let me read this. Okay. Look upon my suffering and deliver me, for I have not forgotten your law. That's the 153rd verse of Psalms 119 in the 20th letter, which is Resh. Okay? Now we need to talk about something else. I think the 153 is important, but we need to talk about this. You know why? Because how many clues have God given us concerning the rapture? and concerning the times that we're living in. How many clues have God given us? So many. Okay, so that means at this critical time, I can't do things the same way. Okay, it's like, I know my mom's coming home at 5. We've been playing in the house all day. It looks a mess. 3 o'clock I can play. Maybe 4. 4:35. We need to stop and clean up, right? So we have to operate different according to what? The times. And so the Lord has placed on my heart that we need to operate different. Yes. Because the time is different. Yes. Okay? We can't be non-evangelistic anymore. Amen. Okay? We were warning and we were showing and we were giving proof, and the world and God was using different people to show, hey, this thing is real. You guys, the whole world didn't know that the stars and the constellations are dictating events in the world. But now we know, because Scotty, like, he brought that forth. When Scotty first sent that to me, I was like, Scotty, this isn't new. J.R. Church taught on this in 2002. But he thought God had showed him something new. But I was like, no, I'll show you. J.R. Church taught on this in 2002. But it was new, and God made it now big, okay? Yeah. And the whole world was looking at this constellation. This guy is going to tell us the end of the world is coming because of a constellation. How does that work? Okay? But what that taught us was that now you can see that God is at work. That constellation had not happened before since Jesus was born. You understand? You have the woman sitting every year for 2,000 years, and she has nine stars on her head. Okay? When Jesus was born, she had 12 stars on her head, right? From the time of Christ's birth till 2017, she doesn't have 12 stars on her head again until 2017. Yeah. So that means God controlled those three planets that they will not line up again until this time, okay? Right. He changed the planets because one of the planets is for war, Mars. And so now he puts that planet in place of another planet. You understand? And so God is controlling all of these things, and he's trying to warn the world. I know the world is telling you that everything will always be the same, but it will not, based on the fact that I wrote the Bible and I pre-wrote history in the Bible so that you'll know when you read my book, I'm right. Okay? I told you about World War I and World War II before it happened. Okay? And when World War I came, I even made it happen on the 9th of Av, which is a day of cursing for the nation of Israel. And I've used that date throughout Scripture to show you that that date is controlled by me. Okay? So all of these things God has shown us. So this means, like, now we've got more evidence than we've ever had. And now Jesus gives us the biggest, right? The absolute biggest hint in the Bible that we can go by. He says it's going to be as it was in the days of Noah. And I don't think we looked at that, and I looked at that, but I looked at it as the 120th Jubilee, yeah, which was 2017. Yeah. That makes sense to me. Like, okay, it's the 120th Jubilee. It's 2017. It's the 17 is the 153 fish. The 117, you have 117 chapters in the four Gospels plus Acts. That's the end of the Gentile story. You have 117. It's like we're ready to go. Yep. And what was God saying? And God tried to show me. He tried to show me. He's like, I'm trying to show you that's the end of my work period. I've completed my work for my bride. I've worked for my 6,000 years. But he says, look back at the story. I agreed to work an additional 7 years for my next bride. Yeah, so I'm still working, okay? Even though I'm going to marry you, I still got to work to get Israel,
yes,
okay? And so God is still working, okay, because he wants both brides. He wants his Gentile bride, and he wants to redeem his bride, Israel, back to himself, okay? So, but the word period is over, okay? Leah was happy for Rachel because Jacob had went to the father and said, my work week is over. I want my bride. So they said they gathered all the people and created and got ready for the wedding. OK, mm-hmm. The wedding is being prepared. But 3 days after is very important. OK, 17, 18, 19, 20. OK, World War One is over with. World War Two is over with in 1945. But it lasts from 39 to 45, 6 years. But in 1945, 46, 47, 48, they're back in the land. They weren't back in the land as soon as the war was over. They were back in the land 3 years later. So this 3 years landing on the 120th is saying, okay, God's doing something, okay? Now, how do we prepare? That's the thing. How do we... We have so much available to us now. We can reach the whole world through the internet. That's absolutely crazy. I was at Jadria's Christmas party the other night, and she said, I heard you had a Hebrew class. And I said, yeah. She said, well, where do your students meet? I said, all over the world. And I said, so she said, well, you mean you got, it's online? I said, yes. She said, from where are you getting the people? I said, every country. I don't have a country that a pen is not in, you know what I mean? So I'm like, we are all over. So we have this in our hands that we can have people who are loyal to God, loyal to warning people about the rapture, loyal to, you know, and the Lord is like, with me, I'm just saying to me, he's saying, this is the end of your mission. Okay? This mission started, what, 2004, Pastor Ben? With Pastor Ben, 2004, because we came in as a church together. But I was trying to teach about end-time prophecy in the prison in 2002, and then I came out of the prison in 2003 or 2004. But I was trying to teach that, hey, Israel is rebirthed. 70 years after that, we got to be looking for something. The chaplain inside of the prisons looked at me like I was crazy. And I was like, wow, just by talking about the rapture, this guy doesn't like me. And I'm like, what is going on with this? But this was what God was trying to call me to. And when he called me, like, okay, here's the mission. This is what I want you to do. And it's going to be hard. Go, okay? And so I started preaching the gospel. Then I said, Lord, I have to go to ministry school. You want me to start a church? No. The Lord says, no. You learn Hebrew and I'll teach you the Bible. Okay? So God doing this whole big thing and this church still being here. We should have a picture of the church when we first moved in. Because it looked like a ghost town. It looked like some zombies were living here before we moved in. And we rented the building as is, right? We didn't tell him to clean it up or nothing. The guy was mean, hated us.
He hated us.
I mean, he would come on, he came on Resurrection Sunday, right? Demanding the rent 2 days early. We're like, we're having church. This guy was just mean, right? But he gave us the church, and I believe God had him give us the church because he didn't like us. He didn't want us here. But he needed the money, right? But we got this church, and God has caused us to survive all of these years, okay? There's been Sundays where we got three people in the audience. We had services. We had three people in the audience, right? So we weren't, me and Pastor Ben weren't doing this for money. I'm trying to tell you, this whole thing is about souls. This whole thing is about preparing people to leave, but you have to see the reality of it. If you don't see the reality of it, you'll plan for life and you'll plan for things beyond what God is planning. Okay? When man's biggest focus, which should be God, the kingdom of heaven, should be the main focus. Whatever you're planning other than that is secondary.
Yep.
Okay? There's one guy I was listening to today that he had died. He had died during an operation. And he says a couple things the Lord told him while he was, when he was in his death state. You know, he says so the Lord met him. And he said a couple of things that the Lord told him was, first of all, people need to pray in tongues more because there's a spiritual war going on. And he said, you guys are looking for the, you're looking for the effects of the bomb when you pray. And it's not the effects of the bomb. He says, you look, he showed him this bomb hitting and the big cloud of smoke. He says, that's what you're looking at. But look at what's down below. The vibrations of the bomb is what's doing the destruction. Okay. When you pray, don't look for the cloud. We see in the heavens the vibrations of the bomb and what's it affecting in the whole world. So he says people need to pray more. Okay. So he was talking to the people about things that are going on in the spiritual realm. Okay. And what we have to understand is that God is planning things and God has spoken things that are going to happen. And we have to be prepared for them. Okay. So we got this flyer, right? We got the flyer, right?
Oh, praise the Lord.
I gave you the flyer. Did I email it to you yet?
Nope.
Okay. I got to email Pastor Ben the flyer. I've been holding on to this flyer. Like I made this flyer like a month ago. Cause God's like, you guys got to prepare to start becoming evangelistic during 2020. It was great for just the family. But now we want to try and win souls, okay? It doesn't take a lot to be evangelistic, okay? Because you know what? You don't have to yell and scream at people to try to get them to understand. All you've got to do is present the information and you're clear.
Yes.
Okay? Do you know if you plant seeds that the only other thing you can do is water them? Do you know that the rest is not up to you? You understand? So you can't, all additional screaming at the plant, you know? Come up out of the ground. The Lord loves you. You don't need to do that. To me, evangelizing is the same way, right? How you doing? The Lord is coming. I want to present to you some information here. Okay, I just planted a seed, right? He says, I don't want to hear about it. Okay, let me just water you and have a good day. Okay, that is not my responsibility anymore. I can't make that grow. I can't make that listen. I can't make that understand. But every now and then you have one of those days that the plant comes up on the same day you plant it and water it, right? And those are the days we celebrate. But God is like, I'm celebrating the whole harvest because all of it has to come up. So we just have to plant and water for 2020 and put this information out so that this is what I want. I want a man to be sitting at home with his family to see the video that we're going to do about 2020 and decide with his family, we're giving our lives to Christ because I need to make sure our family's protected. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Amen.
We know we haven't gone to church. We know we didn't believe in Jesus, but we need to believe in him now because this is the end times and we need to know God. Okay? Yes. I want families all over the world to say now is the time to get on the boat.
Yes.
Okay? And so that's what 2020 is about. Becoming evangelistic because we know too much.
Yes.
You know? Yes.
Have two things. One from Faithful to Christ. She said, Pastor Ben, please remind Pastor Sandy that Noah was 120 years, 2 months, and 17 days old when the flood came.
I know that. I know that.
Amen.
Well, to tell you the truth, it was the 120th year. And it happened on the second, was it the second month? It happened on the second month on the 17th day, right? Mm-hmm. So I know all this. Believe me, I'm calculating in my brain. You're not the only one at home. I'm just not bringing out dates and stuff because I don't want to get, you
know. The element, Pastor Sandy, the element is they didn't realize that tongues was for real.
Right.
How important is tongues if it's real?
I'm going to tell you how important tongues is. I had determined in my mind and in my heart that tongues was goofy and I wasn't going to pray in tongues anymore because that's what these weird Christians do when I go to church. And I said, well, Lord, I don't have to pray in tongues. I can just pray in the natural. And then I don't want to have to pray in tongues anymore. Okay. Because, you know, you're praying in tongues and somebody comes in the room and you got to stop because they're like, cuckoo for Cocoa Pops. And then they leave. Right. So tongues always sound. It was kind of like a strange thing to me. Right. To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the ability which God says, if you ask for it, he'll give it to you. To be able to speak in tongues. And the scripture says this. Now watch this. This is off the chart, okay? At the time of the book of Acts, it says they began to speak in other tongues, and the people that were there understood everything that they were saying. That wasn't tongues. That was a gift from God to speak other languages so that other people can hear the gospel. And it says people from everywhere begin to say, why are aren't all these men Galileans? How are they speaking in our own tongues? In Egyptian, all these different tongues they're speaking. That was a gift that God gave them. But when it talks about tongues in the book of Corinthians, it says, when you speak in tongues, no man understands you, right? You receive the edification from these tongues, but no man understands you, okay? So when we speak in tongues, it's not going to be a language that other people can understand. This is a language between you and God and the spiritual realm that's hearing you speak, okay? So it becomes something powerful in the spirit. We're born again, so we walk by faith, not by sight. I can't walk by the fact that I didn't understand what I was saying, so I don't know why I'm doing this, right? And that's where I'd got. So, Lord, give me a vision, okay? And in this vision, there was a guy had flown to Japan. And he was in Japan. And he was having many problems with his businesses. His wife wanted a divorce. All of this stuff God is showing me in this vision. This guy is going through a lot of problems. His wife wants to leave him. His businesses are bad. And then when he gets to Japan, he's trying to work out this business. And the guy says, hey, come to church with me. I know this guy here that can pray for you. Because he was telling him about his problems. And he's like, I don't want to get divorced. I don't know if I have the money to do this and all my business. And he says, come to church and I'm going to have this guy pray for you. So the guy goes to the church and I see this guy praying for him in Japanese. This guy's from America. The Japanese guy is whatever. I don't want to make fun of any language, but he's going in Japanese, right? The guy gets back to America after the prayer because he feels like nothing happened, right? Great prayer in Japanese. That was weird, right? He gets back to America. His wife says, I love you. I want us to work our marriage out. He gets this big deal, financial deal, and all of his businesses are saved.
Wow.
And God brought me out of this vision and he says, you don't have to understand the prayer for it to be effective.
Amen.
You understand? That's what tongues is. You'd be obedient and you just went to hear the guy pray in another language and you received the benefit of the prayer. When you pray in tongues, you receive the benefit even though you don't understand what's being said. After that, God gave me that vision. I stopped speaking in tongues again because I realized it's a faith matter. Yeah. It's doing something that God commands you to doing based on faith.
Yeah.
I'm going to pray in 20 minutes in tongues. Why? You don't understand what you, because God says the effects of that prayer is going to be strong. Okay?
Someone says, tongues of fire?
It's tongues of fire. That's the tongues of fire. Okay. I hesitate in doing that because you get these Pentecostals, fire! He's like, it's not that fire. That's Kundalini fire, okay? You don't want that fire. If somebody goes fire, you go, in Jesus' name, stop it, right? It's not that. You don't, look. They asked the apostles, well, we haven't received this spirit. He says, you haven't received the spirit? And he says, no, we only been baptized in the name of John. He says, well, and he says, the apostle laid hands on them and he received the gift of tongues, right? He received the Holy Spirit, right? So now listen, the apostle didn't go fire. He didn't do that, okay? And we have to make our model be what we see in Scripture, okay? If I'm going to heal you, if you come up for prayer and I lay hands on you and you fall out and start shivering, the Bible says that happens when demons affect people. That doesn't happen when God touches you, right?
Amen.
When Jesus healed people, what did he do? He laid hands on them and they were healed.
Right.
When the apostles healed people, they spoke or they laid hands and they were healed, okay? Or he says we can lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover, right? But it's nowhere in Scripture that we read that someone walks in the building and it says they laid hands on the person to be healed. He fell out and started shivering and shaking on the floor and got up sore. That's not, so don't get into, when it comes, that's that one thing that hesitates about receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and supernatural things is that people who do this for money masqueraded to look big to the people so that they can make money off of it. And you've got to know God has a personality. The Holy Spirit has a personality. It's always gentle. It's never done violently. It's never, no one in the Bible has ever got slapped to the ground to get healed, right? I'm just saying it doesn't happen. Okay, yeah.
First of all, if you don't speak in tongue and you are a believer, are you out of line with God?
Nope. You're still a house. You're still saved. Understand, you're still saved. You're still a house. If you haven't spoken in tongues or you're asking God to speak in tongues or you, there's a block within you that you like, I just don't feel like I can do it. Or there's some Christians that they never get to the point that I'm going to speak in tongues. You're still a house, okay? But now understand, this is what the Lord showed me. There are houses that are built and they have no plug sockets in them yet. Okay? God wanting to put the Holy Spirit in you is because he wants to put plug sockets in your house so that he can use the power to do things through you. Okay? So that's why. Now, so don't ever think, oh, I haven't spoken in tongues, so I'm not really saved. Or believe those apostolic crazy people that go, if you haven't spoken in tongues, then you're not saved. That's about the dumbest thing. You mean I repented, I confessed Jesus Christ, I believe, and I haven't spoken in tongues, so I'm still waiting to be saved? That's what they're basically saying, okay? So that's just crazy. Even the guys that said, hey, we haven't, to the apostles, hey, we only believe this. He says they lay hands on them, they receive the Spirit. But they weren't like, okay, we're waiting on this whole thing, you know? You're not waiting for to speak in tongues to be saved. You're asking God, and it says, if you ask him, he will give it to you, okay? But God's going to do it in his time,
right?
Okay?
Right.
You're not going to ask, and then, I saw on TV one time, I don't know if it was Benny Hinn or not, but someone said, I've been asking the Lord for the ability to speak in tongues, right? And the guy goes, okay, you're going to get the ability to speak in tongues today. And he goes, fire! And the guy falls out on the ground. And then he starts speaking in tongues while he's on the ground, right? And everybody's going, oh, that guy's powerful, right? So the same evangelist went to the next town, right? And they filmed it. It was the same guy walked up and said, I want the ability to speak in tongues. And he went fire, and the guy fell on the ground, and he started speaking in tongues. Then they went to the next city. They were following this tour. It was the same people getting healed, and the same things happening in every city. So I'm saying, look,
that ain't even right.
Understand, okay? If you ask God for the Holy Spirit, wait for God to give it to you. You don't have to go to a Holy Spirit, fire-breathing, deliverance ministry, and some Kundalini person's going to show up so that you can feel. And the Kundalini will make you feel something, and you'll go, I felt this power of God. No, you felt the power of a demonic spirit move on you. When it's God, it's peace.
Amen.
Okay? When it's God, it's peace. Okay, it's not shivering or all this stuff, okay?
Last thing, Pastor, what are plugs?
Plugs?
You talked about plugs.
Plugs is the Holy Spirit.
In the house, you said the plugs in the house.
The plugs in the house is the Holy Spirit. See, you're born again, but I'm born again, but I don't have the power of speaking in tongues, okay? The Holy Spirit has to connect in you. Like, okay, I want to use Pastor Ben to go and pray healing over this person, okay? But the Holy Spirit wants to do something big on this day, okay? So Pastor Ben goes, he prays, he starts praying in the Spirit, and the Spirit connects to him. Why? Because he has the Holy Spirit, he has the power of tongues, he has the fire in him. So now when he plugs in, you've got this power that is connected to. When you say you don't want to speak in tongues, which the Bible says, all of us can have it if we want. So something's blocking us that we don't want it. And if you haven't had it, and if God has said it's not time now, then it's not time. Maybe it's time for you to grow in Christ. Maybe it's time for you to read your word, okay? Because I was on Metro with a young lady, right, who went to church here. And we're on the Metro, and this lady says, I see you guys reading your Bible. Could you pray for me? And the girl stood up and go, I can pray for you right now. And she starts going, yabba dabba do, kuna matata, yabba dabba do, kuna matata. She starts praying in tongues on the Metro. People are standing back like, and the lady getting prayed over is like, what is going on? Okay, now look, I don't know if it was fake or not, but one thing I know, she wasn't mature enough.
Yeah.
To handle that situation. So God would have probably said, no, you don't need tongues now. You need to be in your word. You need to be growing in Christ. There's things that you need to get out of your, because I don't want to use you in a power situation unless you're in a mature situation. Yes. That I know that I can use you, okay?
Amen.
So wait on God, ask, and he says God will give. Well, God, he says, if you ask for a fish, will I give you a stone? Okay, he says, God knows how to give good gifts to his children. So if you ask, he will give it to you, but he'll give it to in his own time,
yes.
Okay? Drea received the Holy Spirit in her own time. We had both gotten, we rededicated our lives, but she went to a church and she said, I've been asking. She didn't tell them she'd been asking for the Holy Spirit. She told me, like, I've been asking. She went to this church and they prayed, and while she was praying, she received the gift of the Holy Spirit, okay? And been praying in tongues ever since, okay? So understand, it is a gift,
yeah.
And it is a gift of power. So don't try to rush God to give you something before you're mature enough to get it, like I'm asking my parents for a motorcycle when I'm 12 and running into the same fence twice. You know, the third time I fell on my head, I hit a curb and I gave the bike away. And my mom said, I told you, you weren't ready for it, right? Don't ask for something that you're not ready for. You can ask, but wait till God is ready to give it to you, okay? That's just my experience from 1979 to now of being a Christian, okay? All right, so we've done?
We're done.
All right. Ooh, we got to answer questions today. That was good. Thank you for your questions. So you are the house. Get the Holy Spirit in there so God can have some plugs.
Amen.
All right. So we ready to pray out? All right. We are going evangelistic 2020. Flyers are coming. We got to do a video. I'm going to do a video that's going to be very well done that we're going to ask people to watch this video because we want to explain the basic structure of Jesus saying 120 years and how we're there. And so that people can say, okay, I understand this simplistically now. It's time for us to get ready, okay?
No,
all right.
No Bible study and no class, no club next Wednesday, Thursday.
Yeah, next Wednesday and Thursday will be Christmas and stuff, so we won't be here Wednesday or Thursday. This Sunday, I am preaching,
yes,
though, right?
Yes.
The Lord gave me a message, so I'm glad I'm preaching this Sunday. All right. So, let's pray out. Watch this. Yivarekeka Adonai v'yishmareka. Yair Adonai panavileka v'echoneka. Yi'aseh panavileka v'yasim l'kai shalom. And now I just said it in Hebrew, and guess what? I know it in Hebrew. I don't know it in English, okay? So here it is in English. It's crazy. I mean, God can do some things with your brain. Okay, and it says, the Lord said to Moses, when you bless my people, say to them these words, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, everybody. Litro beshavua haba. Have a great Christmas. Enjoy your Christmas. Give your gifts. Remember why we do it. We give gifts because on December 25th, three wise men gave a gift to Christ, our Lord, and God gave us a gift, the son that was in that house, okay? So praise God, and we'll see you guys next week. Or not next week, the week after.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.